Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know.
When you think of a cleaning company, you think of scrubbing toilets and cleaning floors, but what about cleaning up the remains of bodies rotting unnoticed for weeks? Yeah, it's part of the job we talk about today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll-free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
Yes, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share that Office Horror Story with us. Or write it in on our website, OfficeHorrorStories.com. And give us a review out there on Apple Podcasts. Greatly appreciate that. Then send me a screenshot of it. Email it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com. I'll put you in the drawing to be the Employee of the Month, where once a month we give away a $100 gift card to one person who submitted it at random. So we appreciate those reviews. Press subscribe. Let your friends know we exist. That's how we grow this new show called Office Horror Stories. We're roughly up to like 40-some episodes now by the time this airs. So we're almost up to halfway to 100, which is kind of cool. I'm excited. The show is still alive. So Tony and Carol Hughes joining you. And how are you this fine day?
Hey, Tony, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Didn't spend 4-5 hours on hold today with customer service departments like this guy. That was my day. And
I tried to do a customer service through online chatting.
Oh, how did that work for you?
Not well. I got nowhere. But sometimes it works. But I think I try that first because the calling thing drives me crazy. Because it's really, really hard to get to a person who can actually help you, it seems like.
I swear to God, they have made it to the point. Obviously, they don't want you to get to a person anymore. But the hoops that are now required to get to the person are more crazy and stringent than ever before. And I have no problem trying to verify who I am. And there's many a ways that you can do that. With most companies, it would be like, okay, what's your address? What's your name? Maybe your social security number, if that's something on file. That used to be good enough. But now they want to ask you really obscure shit that you probably don't know to begin with, and probably part of the reason why you're calling, because you can't get to some of this information. Like, well, what is your PIN, sir? Like, we never set up a PIN.
I don't know. Yeah. Did I need one?
I was like, well, it's on the fourth page of the bill from last March, and it's in Comic Sans font, and it's somewhere in the lower fourth quarter of the page. Like, what? Oh, yeah, you don't know your PIN. No, I don't know my PIN. Can we verify? Like, I have every other piece of information that was far too intrusive for you to ever need that I gave to you. Could we go to some of that reference material? Well, I can't see that on my screen, sir. What's your account number? But I just want like the middle 7 digits of the 42 number account number that you have. It's just insane shit. And then if you don't have that, well, I can't verify you. What about this? No, can't verify you. Sorry.
Or what if you don't get, you get the online statements.
Yeah.
And then you actually need something. So they want your account number, but you don't have your account number.
Yeah.
Because that happened to me once with a department store, let's say. Mm-hmm. And my purse got stolen. And I, honest to God, was never able to get it figured out. So I ended up just, I finally found a guy after 2 months because my bill was overdue. I'm like, I can't pay it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been trying for 2 months to pay my bill. And then the guy says, well, why don't you start getting the paper bill sent to your house? I've tried, but I don't have my account number and nobody can seem to figure it out. So he figured out. So the only way I was able to pay the bill off was because he got it figured out so I could get an actual statement.
Yeah.
Like no one could figure out how to close because they would go, okay, to close this card, you have to report it stolen, press two. So I'd press two. Well, you really have to go here. I'm like, don't send me there. Don't send me there. I know what'll happen. Mm-hmm. And I would be on hold for a while and then it would just disconnect. And I kept trying to tell people, I keep getting disconnected. And they're like, nobody else is having that problem. And I'm like, how do you know?
Yeah.
Like, but after it was 2 months, I was finally able to get a statement, but I never was able to get that credit card. Like I couldn't get a new one. Never.
No.
So then they say, actually somebody I called them and they go, no problem. And she's like, I've got it all taken care of for you. So I'm like, what? Wow. I guess I should have talked to you 3 months ago. So I get the new card. It was just a replacement card. It actually was my exact same number.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't use it because it was my same number. Yeah. And that one was reported stolen. I'm like, how do you even do that? I didn't think you could even get one with the same number.
That doesn't even make any sense. No.
Yeah. The whole thing was so stupid. Anyway, you got me started.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Brought back bad memories.
It's like, holy shit. I mean, and it's a very much random on who you talk to and their level of competency or training or how much they paid attention in training and education.
Yeah, they got any.
Oh, God. I mean, there's some. Real. Every once in a while, it's like it runs the gamut of extremely good and helpful. Or I should probably never leave my house again and maybe just die because I have no marketable skills whatsoever. That's like the level as there's no middle ground. There's no like, I'm trying my best, sir. It's either great or I serve no purpose on this planet.
Yeah, I called one last week and they were great.
Yeah.
I had really good customer service. And I'm like, I hope they were listening in on that call because you were great.
Yeah.
But you just feel like those are so few and far between that you kind of want to hug them. It was like, yeah. Man, you're awesome.
I feel the same way. I've been going through an entire nightmare this entire year of for insurance, for health insurance, being self-employed here. We don't have insurance through our workplace because I am my workplace. So I have to go and get insurance and you have to get it in this area because some are going to say, well, you just go buy it privately. Not everywhere you can. And where we are geographically, you have to go through the marketplace, whether you're getting any sort of discount or not. We are not getting any sort of discount, but I still have to purchase it through the marketplace. No choice in the matter. You can't just go to the insurance company and say, I just want to buy it through you. Fuck the marketplace. I would do that gladly. Well, the marketplace, I swear to God, is some of the worst customer service on the fucking planet. And I mean the planet. I've had bad customer service in some other countries. These people take the fucking cake and they're right here in the US of A. And I think I've logged roughly 15 hours with them. Of them not submitting my application correctly, which I had paid for in advance, rechecked, double checked, triple checked, called in last year to confirm everything's flowing right to the insurance company. Yes, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. 2020 hits. You don't have any coverage. Excuse me. I paid you. Well, and this is the insurance company speaking.
It's the right hand and the left hand. One hand's the marketplace. One hand's the insurance company. Insurance company saying, well, we never got anything from the marketplace. Like, you sent me ID cards and a letter saying you're covered. Thanks for your paying your premium. Where did that come from? Well, that all comes up like direct from the marketplace when you sign. Well, okay. So I get back to the marketplace. Well, no, it shows over here you're covered and you're all good. They don't have that. That's the problem with the insurance company. So they, for a month, just went back and forth saying, no, he's covered. No, we don't have the information. When the solution would have been, okay, you guys just didn't communicate this correctly somehow. And it's like, well, we finally got to escalated somewhere to a point where this was finally communicated like today. And it's still kind of clustery and not everything it should be. But all in all, I've been spending, I'm probably 25 hours of phone call time in over this last month. And every time I talk to someone, it's a new level of incompetency. Some have been good, and I appreciate those, but it's maybe been two of those 25 hours that I've been talking to someone that's been competent. And
so after all that, do you think you have insurance?
Well, according to them, they've finally gotten the file at the insurance company from the government. And now I'm in their system, but it hasn't gone to the department at the insurance company where it populates out to their system so I can like use the insurance. But they want me to pay for January, even though I couldn't use it in January. And so I'm like, okay, number one, let's just get this under control and then we'll talk about that. But it's just utterly fucking insane. And as a business owner, a sole person, I pay thousands of dollars a month for insurance for my family, myself. It's not, you know, workplaces where, you know, it's a couple hundred bucks. No, it's thousands of dollars to have coverage. And I'm not getting any government, you know, here's some extra money towards your insurance either. So it's utterly insane. You pay all this money for this absolute shit service and coverage. And it's been... fucking, I started recording calls the other day.
Yeah, just that's a good idea.
Because I'm like, I'm going to start airing this. And I'm starting to threaten them with it. like I have a show and I think I'm going to start airing these calls because this is fucking crazy. Please don't swear, sir. I don't appreciate that language. I'm like, I'm sorry. I thought we were adults here. And I thought, you know, it's funny. Some people are like, when I talk and I swear, and I'm not swearing at them. I'm not like, fuck you, bitch. I'm just like, I am just so fucking, I've had it and I'm frustrated with this whole process. And so, that language, language. And some are like, I understand. This is insane.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, anyway, I feel bad. You know, I know there's a lot of people who listen who probably work in call centers. And if you listen to the show and you work in a call center, you're probably one of the good ones. It gets to the level of incompetency.
And if you're not, please try to be a good one.
Please be better.
But I do get it. It would be a lot of people calling to yell at you.
Yeah.
And I could see how they would get defensive really fast.
Sure. It wears you down. But
it's like you just get so frustrated.
Yeah. And I'm not asking for at this point, I'm asking for escalated service immediately because I think I deserve it after all of this. But at the beginning,
especially paying for an entire month and not having it.
Well, here, can we save a couple $1,000? I know you couldn't use this at all. And it was a complete clusterfuck. And we did nothing to help you that entire month. And you had to go through all that. But just give us a couple $1,000. You know, it's nothing. Yeah. It's like, fuck off. But and me saying anything about the market, I'm not saying pro or against anything to do with the marketplace or Obamacare or anything like that. I'm just saying the internal communication system is extremely fucked up with that. If they can fix that, I'm cool with it. But it's like, what have we purposely hired people that don't know what the fuck they're doing? I mean,
what seems wrong is that you can't just go to a private insurance company and go buy some insurance.
Oh, they tried to tell me that. They're like, because I said, this is insane. Well, you know, sir, you could just go buy private insurance. I said, no, I can't actually. I looked into that. I said, I can buy like catastrophic coverage, which I did just in case. So I just spend a couple more, you know, almost $500 on that because they didn't get the shit right. So let me just dole out a little money there. Like, you could do that, sir. Like, no, I would be very cautionary. I'm going to caution you on saying that to anyone else. And here's why. You're wrong. I can't. This doesn't exist. I said, if it could, trust me, I'd already fucking be there. But yeah. In my area, it does not exist. And there's many areas in the country where it's like an insurance desert. And you have one option, and that's fucking it. And that's where we're at. So,
and I hate to say this, but once you do get your insurance and then you really need something, then you end up fighting with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this has been more stressful than when I had to fight over all the shit that got fucked up when we had Harper. Because anytime you go in for anything major, guaranteed your bill will be wrong. And you have to like look at everything, question everything, find out why. And half the time with that, it was like, can you explain to me what this is? They're like, oh, oops, that shouldn't be there. And I think they just do this sometimes just because people aren't going to catch it.
I 100% agree. And I had that argument with the insurance company once, and I told him that. I said, you are doing this to get the money. And they're like, how dare you say that? I said, you can't tell me there's some 80-year-old woman who gets this thing in the mail that looks exactly like a bill. Yeah. And in the 4-point font, it says, this is not a bill. You think she saw that?
Yeah.
No, she wrote you a check.
Yeah.
And you took it. You know you did.
Yeah. We've had things where they wanted us to prepay for Harper. Our daughter, and everything before. And we had insurance at the time through the workplace, and it was okay insurance. But the hospital, and I get some of their tactics because they have so many people who don't pay bills. And then the rest of us who pay our bills have to pick up the fucking slack, which is bullshit, but it is what it is. They were like, okay, well, we calculated, they didn't run it because you can't run it until it's done. We calculated what you're going to owe with insurance. And if you pay this all in advance, we're going to give you a 15% discount. How does that sound? It was like a sales pitch to have my daughter from the hospital. And
I have insurance.
I'm like, well, do I at least get the free juicer and the set of knives, you know, with this, please? And they're like, well, if you make the choice right now, we're going to throw in a Keurig and you can have all the coffee you want and 7 pods.
Because you're going to have late nights with this baby.
Exactly. It's like, where the fuck did sales come into this? But they were trying to make us do that. And I was like, no, we have insurance. I'm not prepaying. So just run it through
through them first. Yeah. I will pay the deductible.
You do that. I'll pay the deductible and we'll figure this out accurately. Because number one, you don't have access to everything else that I have or see. So no. And after the fact, I was really curious as to what this all would look like and how it all panned out. And it turned out, I would have been way overpaying had I prepaid. And then I would have had to have gone back and done all these calculations myself and said, I think I overpaid by like $8,000. Can I have my $8,000 back? And then maybe they'd get around to doing that. But anyone who's like, our medical system works wonderfully in this country has clearly never used our medical system in our country.
Yeah,
it's like you think it's fine and fucking dandy. You've never used it, have you? So again, this is not a political statement. It's just experience of having used it a handful of times. It is fucked up, and I hope something is fixed on it at some point. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror stories with us. Those are our office horror stories of interacting with other offices. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I had worked briefly for a cleaning company that did everything from crime and trauma scene cleanup to residential interior deep cleans. The first job I was given went fine. I was set up to work with a man who would be my senior team leader. At first, he seemed like a decent guy, a little kooky, but decent. The second job, however, was an entirely different story. I'd been called out to meet the senior team leader for a blood job. Apparently, a garbage man had been accidentally sliced open and bled out in the cab of the garbage truck. I inspected the blood damage, and it looked as if the man slumped forward to bleed out mostly into the footwell of the cab. The seat cushion would have to go, and we had to cut out the carpeting on the passenger side. I asked the senior lead if he had any lumen oil to check for blood on the seat back. He looked at me and said, "What's lumen oil?" All right, so the company that routinely does blood jobs doesn't use an indicator. Lumen oil blue star, an indicator for blood spots, I explained. A look of recognition slowly made its way across his face, and he replied, "Oh, you mean that CSI stuff? No." I took a clean white cloth, went over the seat back, and a seat belt with cleaner, no blood. Told the senior team lead that the seat back and seat belt were clear. We then informed the mechanic on duty that the seat cushion would have to be replaced along with the carpet. Mechanic goes off to get a replacement seat cushion. I exit the cab and start working on the outside of the truck. Next thing I know, I look up and there's the senior team lead straddling the passenger side seat back with a blade, slicing it and pulling out chunks of foam. He announces proudly, "Well, what do you know? There's no blood here." "I told you it was clear," I shouted to him. The mechanic returns with a replacement seat cushion, sees the carnage done to the seat back, and shoots the senior lead a look of complete bewilderment. "Well, I had to check," said my senior lead, noticing the mechanic's confused expression. Mechanic says, "Don't you people use lumen oil?" Oh, holy hell. I just turned, walked away at that point. Absolutely unbelievable. Well, it took three mechanics 30-plus minutes to yank the seat out of the cab, and they're all struggling because the seat had been bolted in wrong. I went back into the cab after this to check for any random blood spots behind the seats and found nothing. I leaned out, looked at these three sweaty dudes, and shouted, "I found a spot," pretending that I was cleaning something. I didn't want them to think their hard work had been in vain. Right about then, I hear a senior team leader telling them, "It's a good thing we took that seat out." Yeah. He had nothing to do with it but standing back and watch these guys struggle with bolts for a half an hour. Next job I was called in for was another blood job. Gentleman had died in his home due to a heart attack, but it wasn't a normal unattended death cleanup. The gentleman had a heart attack and fell over, suffering a head injury on the way down, and he subsequently bled out on the floor before passing away. Wasn't found for 5 days either. Senior leader and I go in dressed in our full PPEs, just a clean suit, full face ventilator, gloves, booties, you know, the CSI stuff, and start working on the massive amount of blood pooled where his corpse had been found. We take care of that, then go about cleaning up the rest of the living room floor with soap and water. Halfway through this process, senior lead hands me the bucket of dirty water. "Take this outside and dump it in the yard," he says. I don't know if this guy just didn't think things through entirely or if he was used to doing things like that on the job. But we were in a busy neighborhood and it's the middle of summer. All the neighbors were outside. On top of that, the neighbors knew exactly who we were and what we were there for. Why the senior lead thought it was cool for someone in full PPEs with a large biohazard symbol printed on the clean suit to go dumping a questionable liquid in the front yard, I have no clue. No one in their right mind would do something like that. "It's just soap and water," he repeated, sensing my hesitation. "The soap is biodegradable. I know that you know that, but the people out there aren't going to know that," I said, gesturing to the front door. "Call me paranoid, but I think I'll flush it down the toilet," I added. He was obviously mad at me for refusing to pour the bucket out in the yard. I guess there must be something mentally wrong with the senior team leader. This assumption would eventually be proven correct. The next project was a 2-day residential deep clean and interior paint job. This was the first and last time I'd be meeting with the junior team leader. Senior team lead and I arrived at the worksite early. Junior team lead was MIA for about an hour. We entered this house without her and found the place empty, filthy, and had no power. I noticed that the house had cathedral ceilings and skylights. Senior team lead lets out a long sigh and says, "I don't know how we're going to get these high walls. I don't have a ladder." He didn't bring a ladder. He didn't bring lights. He didn't bring cleaning supplies. What he did bring were three large buckets of cheap-ass paint, as well as the cheapest painting supplies on the market. When the junior lead finally showed up with a second tech, we asked if she had a plan. Her reply was, "I'm thinking wow factor? Ah, yes, that's totally helpful. No ladder, no cleaning supplies, no lights, no plan. Fantastic." The only thing I really knew at this point was that the client had requested off-white paint. So when the senior lead finally dumped out the first pan of mystery paint, I was horrified. It was gloss gray paint. I asked if that was the trim color, and he answered, "We're using it for trim and walls." I don't think that's what she meant by an off-white. I told him, staring into the paint bucket and suddenly feeling very pessimistic about the project. "It's off-white," he snapped. It's also glossy added. "It'll be easy to clean up." I honestly don't even know how to explain the sheer depths of idiocy I was dealing with. No joke. Both leaders had no clue what they were doing. I don't think they even realized that gloss paint is difficult to paint over, and I was damn sure there would be repainting soon. It wasn't long before I realized that the senior team lead did not know how to paint. He had drips running down the walls, and because he had mistaken pan liners with actual paint pans, every time a liner was moved, the flimsy plastic buckled and leaked puddles of paint on the floors. I'm in the kitchen with the junior lead and another tech as they're haphazardly slapping paint on the pantry walls while discussing a drug deal. They thought they'd be sneaky about it by calling it horseradish. "Can you get me some more horseradish?" the junior lead was asking the tech. "The last horseradish you got was really good." She was enthusiastic about it, both looking over their shoulders at me and giggling at the charade they thought they were pulling off. Meanwhile, the senior team lead is wandering around the living room with an edger trying to paint the walls with it like it's just a flat roller. "This works great," he said, thrusting it against the wall until thick drips trickled down like tiny gray icicles. Other techs left early. Senior lead went off for lunch and junior lead disappeared. I assumed that she had gone out for lunch as well and I was alone. Imagine my surprise when she came into the room where I was working, yawning and stretching, telling me that she had the most wonderful nap in the master suite whirlpool bathtub. A second day of painting and the senior lead shows up with a ladder. However, the ladder had broken supports on one side. I'm told to be careful because it's about ready to break. The second day goes about as well as the first. I look around at the end of the day and yeah, wow factor material right there, but not in a good way. The monotone paint job and long cascading drips left behind by the senior leads were sure to produce a wow from the client, as in, "Wow, I wonder why I hired these people." A few days later, I get a call from the owner's wife asking me to explain myself. She told me that the client was shocked and appalled by the quality of work. I explained to her that the work would likely have turned out better if we had the proper supplies, not crazy leads, and just possibly the right equipment. "Everything is in the trailer. You had all of the equipment," she shouted at me. Well, that could be true, but I told her their trailer's tags had expired and the senior leadership was afraid to use it until the owners renewed the registration. Plus, his truck had been so stuffed with hazmat bags that he couldn't fit any equipment in the back except for one broken ladder. Therefore, no extra ladders and no lights. The wife flipped out, hung up on me, and that was that. I love the work, but everything about this franchise and owners was shady, right down to my later discovery that they didn't even have a physical office in the city where they were supposedly based out of. The business address was, in fact, a UPS store address with a P.O. box number being used as their office's suite number. Come to find out, the owners and lead tech all live 4 hours away, and the co-owner lived in Puerto Rico. There you go. There's something to think about next time you have to hire the cleanup crew for that bloody mess that you find in your home.
You know, sometimes I forget that there are jobs like that, you know, but somebody has to do it.
Sure.
But like, as you're reading that story, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I couldn't imagine doing that job, number one.
Yeah.
Then adding incompetence and people smoking horseradish all day or whatever. Like, I couldn't deal with that. And you have to, like, there are so many ands, but then like, here, dump this outside the yard. Like, you pull up in the vehicle, everybody knows the guy died there.
Yeah.
You know, all the neighbors are watching.
I was just waiting for the lineup. Yeah. It'll be good for the grass.
Right. Yeah. It's like, what? You can't just go dumping stuff out.
No.
And it wouldn't have been just soapy water.
No.
My guess is there's other stuff. Like, yeah. I just couldn't imagine doing that job.
You could probably identify the victim's DNA if you took that soap water and got it analyzed.
And if they've been there for 5 days, it's not, and there was blood everywhere. It's just not like, no big deal.
No.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how one does that job. Maybe the horseradish helps, you know? I couldn't do it. I used to cringe when, remember when there used to be a channel on television that was like the surgery channel or something, and
you'd flip
through and they'd be like randomly cutting someone open. Just that 0.5 seconds of flipping through, I was like, I wish I could have blocked that out back then, but that wasn't an option. And that I couldn't.
Like, I'm fascinated by those kind of stories.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Couldn't do it.
Like, no, I just couldn't.
Not at all. No. I'm kind of shivering just thinking about the story. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us. And obviously you can tell you don't have to be working in a cubicle to share an office horror story. Any workplace that you may find yourself in, that's what we want to hear about here on this program. Let's go to another letter. It says, I work in a store that sells building supplies. We have a wide array of products, and some of them do not have barcodes on them, so I must know them all by name. I write the products down on paper, give it to the customer. Customer pays, comes back to show me the receipt, and then I open the gate for the customer to leave. The product in this case is sort of a brick that has three different types, basic, outer corner, and inner corner. So on with the story. One day, a customer comes up to me with a single brick. It was the inner corner type. So I write it down, give the paper to the customer, send him on his way to the register, comes back to show me the receipt, and I notice that it has the basic type of brick on it. I apologize and tell the customer that the cashier probably made an error and I must fix the receipt, as in change it to the right product. Customer immediately turns blood red mad and starts yelling at me for not writing the right product on the paper. I said, it's not a big deal. This will only take a second. Before I even get to my computer with the receipt, he grabs my arm and pulls me very close to him and keeps yelling to me about not doing my job correctly. Again, I apologize for the inconvenience, but he doesn't seem to care. At this point, he's very close to my face, putting his fist up against my cheek and straight up insulting me. I calmly ask him to leave, but he refuses. I said, I'll go call my manager so we can sort this out. As I was on my way to the phone, he tells me to open the gate. So I did, and he left. At the end of the day, I ran into my boss and told him what happened. He was glad I told him that nothing worse went down. Shortly after, I told this story to a coworker, and she was the one at the register with the customer. I was telling her about it. Turns out that she didn't make a mistake with the product, but it was the customer that told her that I had written down the wrong product. So she believed him and changed it to the basic kind. A few days go by, my boss calls me to go talk to him. Someone had made a formal complaint about me assaulting a customer, and apparently the police were involved too. At this point, I was the one turning blood red mad. I told my boss what had really happened and asked him to look at the recording from the security camera. He quickly noticed that it was the customer that was assaulting me. He saved the recording and sent it to the police. A few days again go by. My boss comes up to me and tells me that the customer is banned from every store in our chain, and the police were there. There were going to be consequences for the customer. Boss thanked me for being professional and gave me a raise. I have a feeling I must thank the customer for getting me that raise. Well, that's a good workplace. They stood behind their employee and really went to bat. It wasn't, well, the customer.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go the other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they got a raise.
Yeah. That's not bad at all.
I love that, like, all of that crap. And then I got a raise. So kind of thank you, bad guy, for getting me a raise.
Have you ever had a situation where maybe someone's not necessarily angry, or maybe they are, but it's something where you're doing everything you can to help them? Or make them happy, and they're still not quite satisfied. What
exactly?
What comes to mind for me was the days of being at a remote broadcast at like a car dealership or something. You got any free CDs? Got any free t-shirts? Got any stickers? Got any gift certificates? Got any? It's like, well, I got a CD here. Have a CD here. Enjoy that.
Oh, that one.
What about gift certificates? Got like dinners? I'm like, no, I don't have any of that. What good are you? And then they get real pissy. It's like, what? Number one, I didn't have to give you anything to begin with, but I gave you that. Like, can you at least say thank you? But I mean, I know it can get much worse than that. But what's your worst story? I don't have like a horror one.
Oh,
on that.
And I shared it before. It was that guy who was, I was waiting tables and he caused a scene in the dining room about his food.
Yeah.
Wanted it all free. And he was just screaming at me.
Yeah.
That would probably be like my worst customer interaction.
Do you have any stories from the days of radio of anyone where you give them the free thing and they're not quite satisfied?
Oh, I've got a million radio stories. Like, it's like just people just calling up and being mean.
Sure.
Like it happened to me recently. I was talking about an adoption event for animals, you know me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a kitten adoption event. And I said, you know, I got my kitten a year ago and she's just the joy of my life. All three of my pets. I just love them so much. And then that was it. Like, I'm just promoting this deal.
Sure.
And I get a call and I thought it was going to be somebody saying, hey, when is that this weekend? It's this guy that says, you know, I heard what you just had to say about the animals, and I think that you need to get a life. Jesus. You need to get a man, and you need to get married. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, like if your freaking animals are the light of your life, you need to get a life. Wow. I just hung up. I was so mad. I'm like, so then I went right back on the air and told everybody this story. Because there is a satisfaction in that.
Yeah.
It's like the other day I was pumping gas and I look over and there's a guy putting gas in the car and this woman who's washing the side window. So she's literally standing right next to the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And she's smoking and she's washing the windows. And I'm like, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, she could blow us all up.
Yeah.
But it's one of those self-service places. And so I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to go talk about her on the radio.
Yeah. That's all you can do. Because
I've got that.
There's no sense. I mean, confronting people or not even confronting, just pointing out or lightly suggesting maybe a change in actions goes nowhere. It just, it's like if they haven't figured this shit out.
Just by looking at her, I'm like, she's smoking at a gas pump.
Yeah.
Like I'm the person to go be the voice of reason to her. There is no voice of reason with her. She's smoking at a gas pump.
Yeah.
Like, if she doesn't know that, there's nothing I can say to convince her that's wrong.
No, no.
Somebody said, well, you should have found an attendant. And I'm like, number one, I doubt they would ever come out of that little building. And number two, I just decided to tell the whole town about her.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Yeah. I hope she was listening.
And you know, she's probably listening and going, well, that was a stupid bitch that was smoking by the gas pump, not even realizing you're speaking about her. You know, that's...
Hopefully she was like, oh my God, Carol Hughes saw me do that? That's what I like to think happened.
I had one time at a gas pump, I was in the deep south, somewhere in like southern Georgia, I believe. And it was this really off the beaten path gas station. The pumps, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, but the pumps were probably circa 1978. Like I had not seen these since way, way, way back. And I think the actual tubing that led to the nozzle was also circa 1978. And I didn't realize how bad of shape it was until I started putting gas into my car. This is the only place I could get gas for miles because the rubber hose literally cracked in half and broke in half while I was pumping gas. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know? So it's a really old pump. So I'm trying to remember, like, how do you turn these off? Like, what do you do? Cause I hadn't used one since I was like 16. And like, oh yeah, you gotta, on the side of it, you gotta flip this thing to the other side. Because it's not the front, it's the side, it's very manual. So I did that really quick, but there's gasoline that's spilled everywhere, you know, just raw out into this thing. And
oh my God, that's terrible.
And there's people standing around, there's other cars, you know, and it's like it's leaching out underneath other cars. So, you know, your car sparks or something when it starts up, boom. So I run into the attendant. First, my kids, I said, get the kids out of the car and go over there. So Jen got the kids out of the car and got over there just in case something happened in the meantime. And I run in and I'm like, hit the emergency off switch, because I don't see one. Like, normally it should be like marked clearly. And I'm assuming it's inside by the counter. So it hit the emergency off switch. And there's like three people standing out the counter, all chatting away. And why? Actually, first they gave me the finger, not like the fuck you finger, but like the 1 second while we finish our talk, and I'm like interrupting, being loud, like, no, hit your emergency off switch now. And they all just stop for a second and look at me like, you interrupted our conversation about why on earth they are discontinuing Days of Our Lives. What the fuck is wrong with you? And
just in case somebody heard that, they did not discontinue.
No,
wait, they might have by now.
I don't know what it is. One of them that's ended. And I'm like, well, why do you want it? Why? I said, you have gasoline spilling all over your parking lot. Are you sure?
Like, smell me.
Like, no, you're being punked. This is all a joke. Okay. So they hit it finally after being convinced, because screaming and yelling, hey, emergency, you should do this, isn't adequate enough for them, knowing that their gas pumps are 40 years out of date. Then they go out there and go, oh, it did it again.
Oh my God.
And then they go out there with like, I think they were soaking it up with wood shavings, like you would line a hamster cage with. I don't think this is probably the recommended way to do it or to truly get it cleaned up to a safe level. But there was like hamster cage shavings all over. And then they turned everything back on, because God knows if it's sparked up. I think you got some kindling now is really what I was thinking when they were doing this.
I'd be nervous just starting my car.
I was.
And there's gas everywhere.
We got the fuck out of there, but it was.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. So it's kind of like one of those, whenever we have to drive through that part of the country, well, we drive by this place sometimes and go, remember when? And
good thing my gas pump lady wasn't there. Yeah. She'd have just lit up a cigarette.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone would have died. So. There you go. Good times at the gas station. That right there is going to wrap up today's edition of Office Horror Stories. If you got one, let us know about it. Send it in officehorrorstories.com or call 833-HATE-JOB. Let your friends know the show exists. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Share us on social media. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.